Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
You know how fast you were going?
What?
How fast you were going?
65.
63.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
You got to understand that I don't come up with this stuff. I just forward it along. You wouldn't arrest a guy who's just delivering drugs from one guy to another.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Oh yeah, you can milk anything with nipples.
I have nipples, Greg. Could you milk me?
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two. Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Sans Richard Gere and Gerbil today.
I mean, it's up to you. We can get into it again in the final hour if you want.
That conversation extended off the air with our boss's boss.
Yeah, sometimes you worry, like, did I toe the line a little too much? Am I going to get in trouble? And then you walk into the hallway and your boss is telling stories that are worse than the ones that you told on air. And you think, nope, I'm good.
Yeah, I mean, our boss is, she's pretty cool. She's
very
pretty lax.
Cool.
Like, she,
very cool.
She's been in radio a long time. Like, she grew up in an era of radio that would not be acceptable in today's society.
She starts telling stories about
and then
Thailand.
She told us a Thailand story in relation to the Richard Gere, because I said, hey, I snagged her down. I said, hey, what do you think of when I say the name Richard Gere? And, like, without a hesitation, Gerbil. And I was like, really? You too?
Immediately, ma'am.
And so she knew what Swag knew, and then, you know, we talked about how we'd brought that up on the show, and then Dirt, of course, had to retell the whole what you do in that experience, which made everybody uncomfortable again. And then she told us a story about Thailand and a show she went to in Thailand with her friend, and I was like, whoa, you somehow made me more uncomfortable.
That's the next level of gross right there. I tried to ask Joe if he was looking for a tickle yesterday, but he didn't respond.
I actually did respond to something she told us about the experience in Thailand, and I said it, and then I instantly was like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have said that, because Dirt looked around like, oh my God.
There was a moment where your filter was totally dropped, and I thought, do you know who you're talking to right now? It was funny. I laughed, but it was, you pushed it to the limit there, baby. Took it to the limit.
It involved ping pong balls, and I was like, was there weird guys picking them up, and... Yeah. And Dirt just looked at me like, oh, I don't think you should have said that. I was like, I'm going to get fired.
What a hell of a way to go out, though, wouldn't it? No, how'd you get fired? Well, I made a joke about sniffing ping pong balls. What? That's how my career ended.
I think we're currently operating, by the way, if you want to sneak behind the Odyssey curtain here in Portland, I believe we're currently operating without a human resources individual, right?
There's nobody assigned to the office building here.
Oh, perfect timing to bring up Gerbils then. This is great. There's no HR person. We're good, baby.
I don't know.
No.
There's some oversight somewhere
there's
in the
no
region.
No,
I don't know where
no,
that person no. is particularly housed at this point.
No, yeah. We lost our longtime HR rep. She left. And, you know, we work in radio anyway. It wasn't like HR was really top end for us.
No, for us, it was just getting told to do our training modules.
It's a loose working environment.
Hey, learn how to not be a jackass. Like, I'm not a jackass. I don't need to take that training.
That's too many training modules.
Too many, man.
Do you guys out there, let me ask the audience this. Do you guys out there, if you could text in at 503-864-6326, because, look, I just want to be front with you. Dirt's going to get to NFL rules. I really, most of these I couldn't care less. I just,
no.
These are not issues that I'm concerning my mental space with. We'll talk about it. I disagree with a couple that were tabled, But for the most part, like, this rule thing is not as important to me. It is other people. So I want to ask this. Does your HR, your companies, wherever you work out there, do they make you guys do training modules of what not to say to Janet in the office, what not to respond with in an email, and what things to not click on your work computer? Because we've been inundated with, I don't, what would you say, 50 of these?
A lot of training modules.
Yeah, I remember the latest snowstorm when that knocked us out, I think at the end of February, right at the start of March. I just like, all right, I'm stuck here. Let me just take care of this so I don't get screamed at by anybody.
I knocked and 30 of them out in a day.
I think I did 14 or something and got all caught up.
And I still have 15 left.
They keep sending them to me.
Every day
These things are so poorly acted. I'm just more offended by the amount of money they spent on this acting troupe that's horrible to produce all these damn things.
Yeah, somebody's paying for that. Somebody's
putting
that together.
That's what offends me the most about the whole damn thing.
That's a budget. That's in the budget.
Is the acting troupe comment actually you're upset that they spent the money for it, or are you upset that your wife is not in one of these videos?
Hey, pay me. Is that in the budget? I'll be an actor. You can sexually harass me all you want in a video. Spank my ass as I'm walking out of an office. But give me a little bit extra on the paycheck. Let's go. That's inappropriate, Brandon. You can't do that to me. Don't touch my hand in a meeting.
Now I'm going to make an open after today's show, and those comments are going to be involved in said open. This is how I know you haven't done the training module. There isn't a spanking of asses in our training
module. Oh, we don't know nobody's getting spanked on these things?
No.
Nah, that's a bummer.
Now the uncomfortable... No. Yeah. The uncomfortable HR
stuff. This
isn't
a Jerry Jones trial.
No, that's like Jerry Springer. Jerry.
The training modules of respect in the workplace now, the examples they give us of what not to do.
It's a bit more subtle than that.
It's a guy winking at a female coworker.
Oh, hell no. Can't do that.
And by the way, the very first one, the guy, like, there's a new gal that gets hired, and he brings her in, and he goes, you sit over here, and he gives her, like, a little wink, like, you know, and I had to answer, what should you have not done? And you picked the most obvious answer. But, like, inside, I'm like, what if that was honestly just, like, a friendly, like, hey, welcome to the team?
What if it's an inside joke between two friends?
Yeah. Does a wink instantly constitute hitting on and harassing?
I mean, I would just say a general blanket statement. Don't wink at people.
No.
It's really weird and really uncomfortable.
It's pretty uncomfortable,
like,
no
don't.
Matter.
Is the winking uncomfortable?
Very,
yes.
Very
really?
Uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, so
yeah.
I'm out on an island on this one.
So don't spank me, but don't wink.
Don't call somebody toots.
It's 1952. Hey, toots.
Hey, toots.
You know, I just watched.
Grab me a martini, toots.
I showed my niece, she's 15, and I just showed her Who Framed Roger Rabbit. And I was like, I loved this movie.
Was she as disappointed as I was?
No, she liked it. She wasn't laughing as much as I was. But the beginning scene where it's the baby and Roger Rabbit. And
I think
then
that movie hits different for little girls than it does little boys.
Really?
Yeah.
Because of the Jessica Rabbit stuff?
I think so, yeah.
And then the baby, they cut the scene, and the baby's, like, walking off set, and he's like, excuse me, toots. Toots. What a throwback word.
It's a different time,
that's
man.
A different era right there, toots.
Yeah,
different
as I time. Show my age.
It's okay. I can't stop my co-host from talking about gerbils and slapping asses. Like, he's just
doing
everything
he can. If you want to feel old, it was 41 years ago today that Jordan for North Carolina hit the game winner against Georgetown.
That'll make you
41
feel
old. Years ago today.
Yeah.
I felt old the other day. I saw another. Wow, it's funny you bring up Jordan. I saw 328, except 328, 1995. Jordan returned back to the league and scored a double nickel on the Knicks.
Mm.
I remember it was a TNT game. Remember watching that? He's wearing 45.
The I'm back stuff.
Was that Marv?
Yeah.
Marv had that one?
Absolutely.
We got some texts coming in.
I just think I think it's one thing to, I'm okay progressing in society of, hey, let's be respectful. Let's treat everybody the same. Like, I'm totally with that. I just think we're way overdoing this training module stuff in our general workspace in America, not just Odyssey, in general, like, to the point where I'm like, this isn't happening that I mean, is it happening? Is
it somewhere in the... That's my curiosity.
I'm not saying it's not happening, but
are we
damn.
Having serious problems somewhere else in the company?
We had a few bad apples over the years here. We've had a few come and go.
But like 60 training modules?
Not that egregious. No, not that much. The other part that I think about, too, is like if you're somebody that is a sexual predator, is taking a training module going to get you to stop?
No.
Like, are you going to watch this and be like, oh, I'm not supposed to... You know, give her a butt pat as she's walking out of the office. Like that was the light bulb moment for you. Like, no, you're a piece of crap and you're probably going to continue to be a piece of crap.
Well, they're probably going to get fired pretty quickly now.
I would hope so.
That's not something you put up with much more.
That's the biggest frustration out of all of it for me is that I'm not, I don't think that I'm a racist. I don't treat women differently in the office. Like, you guys are the only guys I really interact with at all here. We talk to a couple people when we come and go, but we're out of here pretty quick. Mm. Like, I'm not hurting anybody other than if you're offended by gerbils getting stuck somewhere and telling you why the gerbil is stuck there. Like, that's all that I'm doing. So, like, the fact that I have to take a sexual harassment lawsuit really chaps my ass.
You realize what you just said out loud, right? That you
different
should...
things. Conversations and actions, different things.
Okay.
I'm not hurting anybody.
I tell people about gerbils and sweet, passionate lovemaking, but I shouldn't have to take a sexual harassment module. Like, that's great. That's
a couple of thoughts here at the fan text line. Somebody said we get some stupid training modules every month. I never do it. Just make my boss mad, even though they agree they are completely pointless.
Yeah.
Like, that's the way it is here, too. Everybody knows they're pointless.
We get threatened. I had our HR gal before she left. She sent me a scathing email. Was like, you have failed to comply. You're out of compliance. And there was, you know me, I'm kind of pushed back on authority guy. There was a part of me that was like, I'm not going to do this. And what are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
You're going to fire me over not doing a data privacy module?
Come on. Don't have an April Fool's joke, okay? Can't do that. Take that training module.
Yeah, some of the ones we get all the time.
Dude, I don't need the reminder.
Yeah.
So get in the car immediately, hear Dirt talking about getting spanked. You guys are all right? Yeah, we're doing good. We're doing good.
We're doing all right.
Yeah. Somebody said just fast forward the module to 5 seconds left. It'll give you credit most of the times.
I can't.
Ours won't let us fast forward.
It auto backs me up, actually. It makes me rewatch it if I do it. I tried. Trust me, I tried.
Yeah, a lot of people saying they get the modules. They're all ridiculous and they're god-awful.
So that's just the corporate America we live in now, huh?
It's lawyers. HR has to do it. They're covering their asses. So if somebody happens or you sexually assault somebody, you can't say, well, I didn't know that wasn't company policy.
Well, there's been so many more egregious things. Like, you know, I'm not going to name names, but you and I were screamed at. Reamed.
We were, yeah.
Taken over the calls. We were fired 5 times in a meeting by somebody. And our HR rep stood there and didn't say a damn word.
Not a peep.
She didn't say anything. She didn't stick up for us. She just stood there and watched us get reamed. And I remember leaving that meeting going, you're literally supposed to be on my side.
Yeah, you're my rep here.
And you did nothing.
I felt like the scene in Happy Gilmore where he's standing in front of the guys. He's ready, like, hey, let me know if I'm going to do anything stupid. And he's like, okay, I will. And he stands in front of the guys. He's ready to tee off. Where were you at on that one, jackass? Where were you at? I needed a little bit of help there. Come on. Nowhere to be seen.
Oh, man. Yeah, you still have to do your modules, though.
I got to do my modules. I'm late on my modules.
This one was surprising, but it shouldn't have been. I'll tell you what that is. We'll talk with Kyle Boone coming up at the bottom of the hour. He covers college basketball for CBS Sports. We'll get his thoughts on the Final Four. We got NFL things to get to, Thursday night football changes, some rule changes, sadder story around the corner as well. Dirt and Sprague back with more on The Fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
We'll talk with Kyle Boone of CBS Sports at the bottom of the hour. Get his thoughts on the Final Four. And then we got Stouter Story around the corner as well. Some NFL dealings to deal with. I'll get to that, one of those things, in just a second. I did want to note this for the show because I didn't know if you'd get to it.
Yeah, what do you got?
Did you see, I know you may or may not have watched, I watched most of this. Did you see that Iowa-Maryland in the Women's Elite Eight game with Caitlin Clark?
I did not see that, no.
You didn't see that?
I did not see that.
It's okay. Caitlin Clark is a lot of fun.
Yes.
She plays a Steph Curry, Sabrina Ionescu combination of game. And they're in the Final Four. They beat Louisville in the Elite Eight.
Okay.
That game rated higher than any NBA game has on ESPN or ABC so far this year.
Their ratings have been really good for the women's tournament. The ticket prices now, it's a bit of an unfair example because the men are playing in a NFL stadium and the women are playing just in a normal NBA stadium.
So the women are doing it the right way.
Yes, and I think I saw there's like a serious demand. The lowest ticket price I think for the women's Final Four is like $370 or something like that. And you can get in and sit in the nosebleeds of the men's for $80. Again, different because it's in an NFL stadium. And as somebody who went to a Final Four and sat in the nosebleeds, not really worth it.
I think Iowa-South Carolina national semifinal will draw higher than either of the men's semifinals.
Wow, really?
Well,
I don't know about that. That's
on ESPN? Because that... Oh, those other games...
Now, are the men's Final Four CBS, right?
It's on CBS.
Okay. You're going to beat... National CBS is going to lose to ESPN? Yeah. I think that's a channel problem, not a game problem.
But I think that number's going to be...
It'll be a big number.
It'll be a great number, right? ESPN's clearly excited about it. They've been pubbing it on Get Up all morning. They interviewed Caitlin Clark yesterday. Like, they're pretty excited about it. But beating CBS? I don't know about that.
Aren't we getting a championship Final Four?
2030.
Okay. Nice.
2030?
Yep.
Only got 7 years to go, baby.
Plan accordingly, I guess.
I'm putting it on my calendar right now.
Well, they are doing it the right way, playing in like basketball arenas. The football stadium thing, we'll never stop it, but I really wish they would.
I'll tell you this. It was such a mixed feeling because I went when Oregon was there, and it was funny because I later learned, you know who else was at that Final Four? The Murdaugh family. They were big South Carolina fans. I saw a bunch of pictures of the trial at the Final Four that year.
Be funny if you were seen in a photo like alongside them, like giving them high fives to the dad.
Way to go, Gamecocks! Hey, Buster, what's up, buddy? No, so they were there. It was such a mix of feeling, though, because you walk into the arena, and I remember thinking to myself, this is one of the coolest things I have ever seen. Like, it blows your mind how small the basketball floor is in the stadium, and I remember taking pictures, like, walking around the 100-level concourse. Like, this is one of the coolest and craziest things I've ever seen. And then I got up to my seats, and I was watching Ants play basketball.
Yeah.
I thought, this is kind of dumb. Like, if you had a good seat for it, it would be incredible to sit that close in that big of a stadium. But when you're that high, I mean, you can't see anything.
Well, and that, the stage could be it, this general setting of championship Final Four atmosphere. But I tend to believe, like, unless you get Duke Carolina, you're probably getting UConn Butler. 40% from the field for the whole game. Because sight lines are bad. Like, it sucks to shoot when you're not used to seeing seats that far back. It throws you off a little bit. Your sight lines get messed up.
It does.
And so I wish they would stop. But I thought that was an interesting note. Any NBA game they've had, and they've had some pretty good ones on ESPN, and Iowa-Louisville beat it.
That's a really good sign for women's basketball, man. I think women's college basketball, it's thriving right now. As opposed to the men's game, which seems
they have
to be
brands.
The
People
other direction.
Know who Aaliyah Boston and Caitlin Clark are.
Yeah, yeah, that's important. You need players.
Who knows
like that.
who's the best player in the Final Four this year? Exactly.
I don't know. Actually, that's a.
I don't even know how many I can actually name.
Well, I there is that. I think for most people, there is that. Who is the best player in the Final Four?
I don't know myself.
You don't know makes me worried that I never will know. Is it it's not the Trammell kid, right?
Who's the best player on UConn? Is that it? Who's their best guy? I don't know any of their names.
That guy?
That's what I'm saying.
Swag could throw eight names at me right now. Make them up or real, and I wouldn't know if he was telling me the truth.
Yeah, Hawkins, big fan of his game.
I've watched UConn play.
Something about it's the first time in a long time that there's not like a top 30 high school prospect in the Final Four. Like the top high school recruited prospects are all from UConn. Like three of the top four are from UConn, and it was in like the 40s and 50s.
Well, I mean, even like Don Staley at South Carolina.
Yeah.
Who's the biggest coach in the tournament left?
Don Staley and Kim Mulkey are much more well-known than any of the coaches.
Yeah, I mean, have you seen Mulkey's outfits, by the way?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, my God.
I mean, you know the name Hurley, but you go...
But you'd go Bobby? Steve?
Who?
You don't know his name.
Yeah. Oh, Dan. Oh, Dan.
Maybe know Larinaga from Mason upset of UConn and been around the block, but tell me. And maybe Dusty May, because we've been mentioning the name so much. I don't think I know San Diego State's coach. I wanted to say it was Steve Fisher.
Brad.
Brian Dutcher.
Brian. B. I was close. I was right
BR
there
somewhere.
I was right there. I was right near that answer.
Oh, it's going to be a horribly rated Final Four, isn't it? Now
yes.
We're saying all these things out loud. I'm like, nobody's going to watch this.
It will be awful.
If the women's Final Four was on if they put that on ABC Friday night, I bet it would get a bigger number than CBS.
You put it on ABC, I start to agree with you, but because it's ESPN versus CBS, I don't know if they'll get that big of a number. Like, CBS is going to be down, but they're still going to get a decent number because it's the Final Four.
When are the women's game? When
Friday.
Are they played? Friday?
They're Friday. So they're Friday. Their title game's on Sunday. The men are Saturday. Title game Monday.
Yeah. They do a good job of mixing that up. That's really well done. Did they have any issues with the weight rooms this year? Remember when that was a thing a couple of years ago?
Yeah, when
that was a Ducks player.
It was a Duck
I forgot
player.
Her name, but
I asked Altman about it. He had no idea what I was talking about, and I'm like, I'm glad I asked the coach that question.
Forgot about that.
Remember that we had him on, and I was like, "What do you think of the weight room, the women's team in the weight room thing?" And he was like, "I don't know what you're talking about." And I'm like, "Okay, all right, great,
all right, good,
staying home."
Somebody didn't take their HR training module because if he did, he would know. That's unacceptable.
I think eventually there, and I don't know where and when it'll be, but they want to combine and have both Final Fours at the same venue, and there'd be four straight days of games.
That's a good idea.
Men and women.
I like that. See, here's the tough part.
I don't know if I like that.
As somebody who went to the Final Four, it's weird because there's general fans that are there. And then you obviously have the four fan bases that converge on the stadium.
Right.
And Oregon, North Carolina, when I was there, was the second game of the day. And so we went in early because we were getting fit, you know, grabbing some beers, hanging out, doing whatever, watching. The first game was Gonzaga and South Carolina, and Gonzaga wanted to go to the championship. When that game's over, a ton of people just leave.
Oh, yeah.
Because they don't sell two separate tickets. They do that at some, like, in the opening round of the tournament when you got all these different games. It's basically you get a ticket for both games, essentially.
And people still leave?
And, like, South Carolina fans were pissed because their team lost and they just bolted. They didn't want to see North Carolina win. Gonzaga fans were heading out because they wanted to go party. They're going to a national championship.
I'm watching.
And so I remember it just being kind of weird of, like, all right, like...
Why would you not watch?
A good chunk of the stadium's just... So having, like, eight fan bases in one stadium, maybe you alleviate some of that problem.
Swag, were you aware that Dirt was at a Final Four?
Yeah.
You guys know I went to a Final Four.
I feel like every time we get to the Final Four, Dirt goes, you know, I went to a Final, the Final Four I went to.
I mean, personal experience. We all have to relate as radio hosts, don't we?
And then you always tell us that you went because the Ducks were there, as if I didn't know.
But you know Oregon was there?
Yeah, I didn't know
that. Do you guys know that? You guys know Oregon
was
in the Final Four?
Was almost there. Almost.
Yeah, cute little Elite Eight. Did you go to the Elite Eight? No, you didn't.
No, I didn't.
Not a real fan.
I'm probably
not a real fan.
You could probably define me as not a real fan.
Fake fan.
College basketball is awful, but I'm going to be watching. I mean, I've watched Caitlin Clark so far, and the Louisville game at a 40-point triple-double was awesome. And now you got South Carolina's the favorite. Mulkey, you know, you can love or hate Kim Mulkey. She's going to wear some ridiculous outfit and have some weird comment.
I think everybody's going to be rooting for Virginia Tech. First time the Hokies have made the women's Final Four. Coach seems like a pretty humble guy.
I feel like Kim Mulkey's like skinning cats pregame and like stapling them to her
jacket.
She's
an interesting person.
Weird look.
She's just got a weird vibe to her. I don't know what's going on there.
I don't either.
But I'm also really kind of curious.
I don't know. Like, wouldn't want to play for her. I'll say that. Not my kind of coach.
No, she's no different. I don't think coaching wise, she's much different than what like Pat Summitt was.
Gino Auriemma.
Gino, yeah, she's a red ass.
They all have a dictatorial nature too.
It's hilarious that UConn's not elite anymore. At least not in the Final Four this year.
Well, their best player got hurt at the start of the season.
Yeah, sucks to be them.
I mean, think if Paige Beckers had played, right, they'd probably be in the Final Four.
Yeah, but they got their ass kicked by Ohio State.
Coulda, shoulda, woulda. Mm-hmm. Couldn't get there. Mm-hmm. Suck it, Geno.
You know who got there? Caitlin Clark. That's, you know, right, whose team shouldn't be there? Probably Iowa. But Caitlin Clark's so damn good that you got to take them seriously. And I think this speaks to the Final Four we have in the men's, because, like, I don't know. FAU, San Diego State. All right.
Catch a fever, baby.
I am curious, though. What is the best matchup? We're going to go to Kyle Boone here in just a second with CBS Sports.
On the men's side, which matchup's better?
On the men's
better?
Side, what's the
best? I mean,
best?
It's not. I mean, it's Miami-UConn.
No,
they
no,
play
no,
in the
for
semifinals.
The championship.
Oh, for the I think the best matchup this weekend. Sorry.
I think it's FAU-UConn.
I think it's FAU-Miami. South Florida?
I almost wish that the games were reversed. I wish that you had a chance for a Miami-UConn final, because I think they're probably the two best teams that are left, the two most entertaining teams that are left. San Diego State plays too rugged of a style for me to enjoy. Their games are too low scoring. And so I don't want them anywhere near in a championship game in that building. That could be like a 52-47 final. And we're going to have to act like it was great because it was close. That's like watching a 6-3 game in the NFL.
Well, see,
no,
I think
you.
FAU will run with UConn. And if they make some threes,
they have to run with UConn.
Yeah, I think they'll be more than happy. They won't try to slow the tempo down the way somebody else would, the way San Diego State. If San Diego State, I mean, they are great defensively, but they do not play a pretty style of basketball.
No, thank you.
We'll get to Statter's story. The NFL screwing up Thursday Night Football again, and everybody speaking out about it makes me wonder how the hell this thing got okayed. And we got some rule changes to get to as well in the National Football League. But coming up next, what is going to happen in the Final Four? We'll talk with Kyle Boone of CBS Sports. He covers college hoops for the network, and he joins us for the Daily Ticker next.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, ticker time here on a Wednesday. Let's go to the Final Four and talk about what's happening this weekend down in Houston. Joining us now is Kyle Boone of CBS Sports at Kyle_Boone on Twitter. Go give him a follow covering college hoops for CBS. Kyle, good morning to you, man. I'm going to start with the kind of big question or the elephant in the room all week around this is we don't have any household names. We don't have any number one seeds, two seeds, right? Like, it's kind of teams out of nowhere. And there's a mixed bag for me where it's like it's fun having teams out of nowhere make it to this situation, but I also can relate to the side that say, man, like last year we had Duke versus North Carolina in Coach K's last game. Good or bad, yeah, for college basketball that this is our Final Four?
Yeah, as an employee of CBS, I will say it's probably not the best as far as ratings are concerned. However, as a fan of college basketball, I mean, I love it. We always talk about, oh man, March Madness, like it's always about the upsets. And for the most part, you know, there's parity every year, but rarely do we get a constellation of four final teams that really, for the most part, no one anticipated. That has absolutely been the case this year. A lot of number one seeds crashed and burned very early. There are no number one seeds in this Final Four. And in fact, this is the first time ever a Final Four doesn't feature a team seeded better than number four. Obviously, UConn is number four seed in this bracket, but it's crazy. I mean, this is three first-time Final Four participants: Miami, Florida Atlantic, San Diego State. So, yeah, I'm a fan of it. I feel like people's brackets are busted, and that happens every year. But the fact that we've had, you know, just such a crazy upset-ridden NCAA tournament, I think is good for the sport writ large.
What would it mean, you think, for the sport if Florida Atlantic was the national champion of this thing?
Oh man, wouldn't the Owls have to become like our national official bird or something? I mean, like, it's fantastic, and it's great, I think, for mid majors too, because like Florida Atlantic was clearly a top 15 team for most of the season, but you know, I think, like, if you go back a few years, Loyola Chicago was a really good mid-major team, and it was a great story, and everyone loves Sister Jean and the Ramblers, but I don't think everyone really thought that they could win a national championship. I really do feel like Florida Atlantic can win the national championship, but it would be great for college basketball. I feel like it's kind of the equivalent of, like, you know, a UCF going to the college football playoff and actually taking down Alabama or something. Like, it just shows that parity is actually alive and well and thriving in college sports. So, like, Florida Atlantic's not going to be my pick, but they're 35-3 going into the Final Four. They can absolutely win the national championship, and they're playing at a really high level right now. They have the longest winning streak in college basketball. And so, yeah, we may have to give the Owls a little respect on their name.
Hey, Owls are badass, man. We don't give them enough respect to begin with. They're a really cool animal, cool bird. I'm all for it. More love for the Owls. Kyle Boone is our guest, CBS Sports, @Kyle_Boone on Twitter. Give him a follow. We were just trying to answer the question, and we had a really hard time coming up with the answer, and so I'm going to throw it at you because you know way more about college hoops than we do. Who is the best player in this Final Four?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm actually doing a piece right now for CBS ranking the top 20 starters in the NCAA tournament. And to me, the clear answer is Adama Sanogo. And he's the best player on the best team. And I think that's kind of just the easiest answer. Sanogo's the guy that has been kind of the go-to guy for UConn in this NCAA tournament. He had 24 points in the Sweet 16 against St. Mary's. He had 28 points, 13 rebounds in round one. The size that UConn has, I think, is going to present a challenge for not only Miami in the next round, but whoever they face probably in the national title game, and that's assuming that they go to the national title game. It's just really hard to defend someone who's 6'10" and 250 pounds, mm-hmm. and UConn is the second best team in college basketball this season in offensive rebounding rate. And that is really kind of how UConn has thrived this season. They have a lot of really good shooters. They have a lot of really good guards. But when you're getting more second chance opportunities than almost anyone in the entire sport, that is kind of how UConn has put together a recipe for success. And Sanogo has been a huge part of that. So to me, Sanogo is probably the best player. There's a lot of players that I think are in the mix for that. And I think just kind of to display just how good UConn is, like three of the five best players in my rankings are going to be UConn players. Yeah. So that kind of shows just, I think, how favored UConn is, and I think rightfully so.
Kyle, this is your first time on the show with us, so I'll give you a quick little background of kind of who we are out here in Portland, Oregon. A couple of years ago, we had a random segment where we talked about the Manning brothers, and my co-host, Dirt, he basically said if he was Cooper, he wouldn't like Peyton or Eli because they had better careers. And then we basically said, if your brother succeeded, would you be jealous? And he said, hell yeah, I would be jealous. Do you think Bobby is actually happy for Dan, or do you think this is eating him up that his brother coached his way to a Final Four and he can barely get in the tournament with Arizona State?
Oh, man. So knowing Bobby and like the fiery personality that he is, part of me thinks either he's going to be Dan's biggest cheerleader at the Final Four, and then like 30% of me thinks that Bobby is like on an island somewhere just like punching air, like drinking tequila, like extremely angry that his brother has found the success. So I think I could go either way with this. I don't really know which way I would go, but I tend to lean actually towards that Bobby has just got to be so pissed about this.
If let's say Dan loses to Miami, Larrañaga and Miami gets the upset, they go to the final. Bobby's probably going to be the guy in the post game that shouldn't, but he's smiling, patting his brother back, going, oh, that's okay, man. You'll get him next year. Like, secretly happy that they lost, right? That's probably what he is.
No doubt about it. No doubt. And unlike the Manning, but like, Cooper's in, like, you know, national ads, you know? Like, Bobby's not getting national ads out of this. He's not able to recruit and turn this into success for his program. So, yeah, this is – UConn flames out. I think he's probably quietly smiling in the background for sure.
Well, I know, Kyle, you jokingly said that, you know, CBS probably not thrilled with some of these matchups. We'll see what the ratings are this weekend. I am curious how it turns out. I do tend to agree with you overall, though. Like, I think it's really fun that, you know, teams can come out of nowhere. Like, as a fan of the sport, it gives you hope. Like, there's college football mm-hmm. where, you know, like, if you're not Alabama, Georgia, or Clemson, or, you know, like, Ohio State, like, if you're not one of those kind of schools, you realistically don't have a chance of winning a national championship at the start of the year. Yeah. College basketball, anybody can do it. That being said, though, what is the matchup that you think is most intriguing, entertaining, the best outcome for the sport for a national championship game?
Oh, man, I feel like the best outcome would be Florida Atlantic winning it all. And I'm sure people are rooting against this because it's Florida Atlantic. But they have the longest odds to win the national championship going into the Final Four. They're plus 625. So, I mean, it's like just a total dart throw. They're underdogs in their game against San Diego State. Obviously, they would be, I would guess, probably like 8 to 10 point underdogs if they face UConn in the national championship. But yeah, like just going along with like the parity that we've seen in the NCAA tournament, if Florida Atlantic can pull this off, not only going from a team that was an underdog in the first round, but going all the way to the title game and actually winning it, I feel like that would probably be the best story. And they're really interesting. Like the way they play, I think, is very modern, and it probably speaks to kind of the change in college basketball on the whole, which is they rely heavily on 3-point shots. 37% of their points comprised of threes this season, which is best among the Final Four remaining teams. And they face the San Diego State team, at least in the Final Four, that is number two in defense and defending the 3-point shot in terms of 3-point field goal percentage. So, if they win into and go to the title game, I feel like that would be a great story. And if they're able to take down mighty UConn in the title game, again, assuming UConn is in the title game, I feel like it would kind of perfectly encapsulate how mad March has been.
Is Dusty May screwed himself by getting to a Final Four here? Because I don't, like, usually when this happens to mid-majors, the coach gets elevated and gets a big job, but like, yeah. What job is available for him at this point? Texas filled their void. The Johnnies went with the Vampire. Like, I don't know what's available, and he might end up coming back to Florida Atlantic, which I think would be great for the sport, and I wish he wouldn't leave. But, like, did he kind of get screwed out of having success in the tournament?
Yeah, maybe. Penn State is out there, and I think Penn State's going to go in a different direction. I wouldn't be surprised if there's more jobs that open, and that typically happens after the NCAA tournament. But, Dusty May's been kind of a hot name on the coaching circuit for a while now. And when you go and make a run in the NCAA tournament, I think it almost ices you out of some opportunities, because there's been Georgetown has filled, St. John's has filled, Texas has filled. And that has all happened during the NCAA tournament while Dusty May's been coaching. Now, he has an agent who's probably doing some negotiating behind the scenes, and this doesn't completely preclude him from looking at other opportunities. But I think the kind of the writing is on the wall here that Dusty May may just run it back at Florida Atlantic. And even if they have a down year next year, I mean, you just took Florida Atlantic, a team that 2 weeks ago had not won an NCAA tournament game, to a Final Four and potentially to a title game. Like, that's insane on your resume, and that'll hold up really well regardless of what happens next year. And by the way, next year they should be really, really good again. So
Great stuff. Kyle Boone of CBS Sports covers college basketball. Go give him a follow on Twitter at Kyle_Boone. Really appreciate the time, man. Great insight. Enjoy the Final Four this weekend, and hopefully we can do this again soon.
Yeah, sounds good. Happy Final Four, you guys.
There you go. Kyle Boone of CBS. He was really good. Yeah. Man. That was really good insight.
It's nice to get somebody that actually loves the sport
and knows what the hell they're talking about.
Exactly. The funny thing, show you what's going on here behind the scenes. Dirt asked him, who is the best player? And he said the kid's name, and me and Dirt looked at each other like, I don't know. And then Swag leaned in and went, UConn player.
UConn big guy. LaMarcus Aldridge, back to you.
Little inside joke for three people.
Oh, he was awesome, man. Really good stuff. Final Four this weekend. I agree with the surface value of, I love that there's random teams there, while also acknowledging the ratings are going to be horrible.
They're not going to be great.
Nobody's going to watch, but I love that anybody could get there.
I know Bobby Hurley's going to be rooting against his brother.
Yes, without a doubt.
And funny thing, he actually doesn't know this, but I heard this on an interview. Dusty May doesn't have an agent. He's Lamar Jackson right now.
Yeah, he reps himself, huh?
So I don't... He might have got screwed out of a potential
if you
job.
Can get to a final... Like, don't leave. I know it's easy for me to say, because he's going to get a big payday. Like, you took Florida Atlantic to a Final Four.
I'd rather be at Boca Raton coaching that team again, despite what happens, than go to Penn State.
Well, that would be his big offset, because everybody from the NCAA comes to the Final Four. They do a lot of business behind the scenes. So all the agent reps will be there for coaches. So he will pick up an agent.
Dude, Boca Raton.
That'll be the big news.
Living
is he'll get an agent.
Living a dream.
He'll get a new bonus and some stuff from Florida Atlantic. And then
what if they win the national championship?
You got to defend the crown.
You have to,
come back and defend the crown.
Like, the one argument I could see is going from smaller job to bigger job is I don't have a chance to win. Like, I'm limited at my smaller job and what I can do. If you win a national championship, that's out the window.
Yeah.
You just showed
no limit.
There's no limit. You can do it at Florida Atlantic. Tournament in Gonzaga. Crazy. So there you go, Final Four talk. Let's get back into the NFL because they did something that was really dumb and not good for players, and I want to talk about it. That's next on The Fam. All right, welcome back in. Thanks again to Kyle Boone for hopping on from CBS Sports. That's a fun name to say, too. Kyle Boone. It's a good name. Good, strong name.
Boone.
Coming up in the final hour, we got Stat or Story at 8:15. So that's coming up. Major League Baseball season starts tomorrow. So we have to make our World Series picks today. That's how we roll around here.
I mean, no games will happen before a show ends.
I mean, it's tomorrow's opening day. You gotta make your picks day before. That's how it works. That's how we roll. That's how we do things.
I mean, don't we know where all three of us are gonna go?
You don't know where I'm gonna go.
I'm literally looking at the shirt you're wearing. I would guess that's where you're going.
Nah, I'm not gonna pick my team to win a World Series.
Are they gonna be good this year?
I think they'll be better than they were last year.
Like sneaky good team who may or may not get in but comes close.
Maybe a fringe wild card team. Mm. I mean, they're not as good as the Padres or the Dodgers in the NL West, but I think they'll be better than the Diamondbacks and the Rockies. So hey, third fiddle, not bad.
The Padres, fascinating.
They better win it all this year.
Well,
they're spending a lot of money.
Get to the dance.
I mean, they were in the, not the dance, but they were in the, they lost just, in the NLCS last year.
Yeah, I'm stepping all over your segment. I'm sorry. We could save this for tomorrow.
Look at that. You want to talk baseball?
Well, yeah.
You're chomping at the bit.
I am, actually. There's some really interesting things in baseball. They're a franchise for me. It's like, they've had a couple years. Like, are we ready to we're just writing them in ink that they're there every year, huh?
You can't do that with baseball. You can.
I mean, there's some franchises you can, but like, I don't know if they're one of them for me.
Dodgers had $1 billion payroll last year. They couldn't even get to the NLCS.
Let's not bring up bad things.
Yankees pay a lot of money every year and haven't been in a World Series.
I mean, they got 27, so it's,
well, you know,
be okay.
17 of them don't count, but that's fun. It's when there's five teams and only white people playing, you're the only one spending a lot of money. Give me a break. We won 37 World Series from 1915 to 1940.
That's what the Celtics fans do.
Yeah, give me a break. Nothing before 1960 counts. That's my philosophy in sports.
Celtics fans are like, yo, we got a million of these. We had the best black player in the league. We hated him,
we treated him
like crap.
Hated his guts.
But, man, we won.
That's all that matters,
okay,
right?
Okay, Boston.
Explain this one to me, Bob. So the NFL is going over rule changes and what do we want the league to look like next year, all that nonsense. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that was kicked about was flexing Thursday night football games because you could hear an Al Michaels voice. He's just cashing checks at this point, and he had a lot of bad games. Thursday Night Football was, like, historically bad last year because it just was a ton of really bad matchups.
Well, it was also really obvious because they don't tell you this on television. Monday Night Football was going to get handed better games the minute ESPN said, we want Joe Buck and Trey Aikman.
They committed to their broadcast.
The NFL saw that and said, thank you for caring about your broadcast again. Here you go. Sunday Night Football is the premier primetime game. They're always going to get a great look.
Yep.
Thursday was always going to be left out because, Amazon's new to this. The new media partner is not instantly going to get the best games.
You're not wrong there. And they said no to flexing Thursday night games. So Thursday night football games cannot be flexed in or out of the schedule. The schedule will come out at the start of the year, and that's the way it works. However, this is how the NFL operates. Instead of doing something smart like getting Colts and Broncos off of my Thursday night feed and giving me a game that people would actually want to watch, they have now added to the existing rule saying the teams can play another short week game.
This will get Colts and Broncos off of your – because they can – have the better teams play multiple short week games.
Yeah, but they're going to...
But I see, here's
that doesn't make it a good thing, though.
Yeah, I hope we eventually get there, but I also, like, there's a catch-22 here where my opinion on the Thursday night scheduling would be you come out with it at the start of the year for the first however many weeks, right? You want to do the first 8 weeks of the season. Here's our first 2 months of the NFL season. This is what it looks like. And then as the year goes on, about a month out of every consecutive week, you say, all right, this looks like a good matchup. Can we negotiate with the TV partners? Let's put that on Thursday Night Football. Having teams play back-to-back weeks, or not back-to-back weeks, but two short weeks throughout the course of a season. By the way, Thanksgiving games do not count here. They're not counting Thanksgiving as a short week. So if you play on Thanksgiving, you could technically play three Thursday games in an NFL season.
Woof. Buzz your
only,
girlfriend.
What,
or
the
if
Cowboys,
you play
Lions,
the season
or,
opening one.
Or the season opening one, yeah. And that's not a short week because that's the opening week of the season.
I will say this. I was like, why wouldn't you do the flex? But then I saw comments from one of the Giants.
John Mara.
And he's and this happens, too, and we've talked about this. If you go to an NFL game or a college football game, the in-game experience is lacking. He's trying to protect us. If you buy, if you're expecting a Sunday game in November that you're going to take family to, and all of a sudden, you, especially if you're on the East Coast, those things kick off at 8:15, 8:30 p.m. You want to take your kids, and now 15 days out, it gets shifted. Protecting the actual in-game season ticket holder buyers from that. And that was, I'm like, that's a legitimate concern and argument. I will listen to that.
Yeah, that's valid.
Because I think too often the actual season ticket holders get overlooked in all these decisions that are getting made.
Oh, 100%. They don't care at all about the season ticket holders.
Yeah.
They can say they do because of the money, but we know the way that they handle their schedule, they don't. I mean, look, Thursday Night Football, just in general, is a topic.
I think it needs
a little
to just
controversial,
go away.
But they're not going to do that, and I'm with you. I think most people are actually with you. But you saw some reaction from the league to this announcement that you could play multiple Thursdays, and what was it? I didn't see a whole lot of hooray. I saw a lot of, like, what? Why?
Guys are already complaining about playing on short weeks to begin with.
I mean, it's just ridiculous. We could get Chiefs fill in the blank opponent. You're right, Swag, on that. We could get rid of Colts Broncos. But, like, you could also be catching a really good team health-wise on a bad week. And you don't realize that until you watch the game and you go, oh, he's limping. Oh, he's not going to play. Oh, their offensive line's banged up. And then suddenly, I don't know if it can look as bad as the Colts Broncos, but it's like Colts Broncos-esque of, all right, they won 13-10. And it was kind of a snooze fest of a game. There is that scenario by doing this.
I can't remember. Was the Bengals Browns game where the Bengals randomly got smoked? Was
Halloween.
Was that a Monday night or a Thursday night?
I think that was a Thursday night.
Was it a Thursday?
I think
night?
Halloween was a Thursday in 2022.
Okay.
I remember going out and it was the only game.
I remember that game vividly because I gambled heavily on the Bengals, thinking they're playing the Browns. The Browns suck. It's Jacoby Brissett, and they just got smoked.
I'm fairly confident in saying I think it was a Thursday. I'll look it up right.
Okay.
Yeah. Or no, that was a Monday.
It was a Monday night game. Okay. Well, it should be noted too that they're going to bring this back up for another vote at the league meetings in May. And Mara, who Swag pointed to, is against this idea of flexing schedules and all that kind of. He believes in May there's a chance that it passes. Now, if it did pass, the way it would look is that a flex game would be announced 15 days before the scheduled Thursday. So essentially 2 weeks before.
This is ridiculous.
You're saying, man, here we're going to flex this game.
Playing
in
this game is so dumb. You cannot act like you're concerned about player safety.
That's a tough part.
And bring this, and you know, Goodell did the press conference yesterday, and you know, I was going to send it to Swag, but I'm like, I don't care. He basically says, we've done internal studies that indicate this isn't worse for their health. The same studies that concluded that concussions weren't real? Like, what studies are we talking about here?
Where's the guy? Tell the truth!
There's no believable aspect of when the NFL says something, you're buying it. You always feel like they're lying to you. And in this regard, I just think the product in general, without having to make a team play twice, is already not good. Making this happen again for certain teams, because they end up being good and smart.
Yeah.
I hate it. I think it's a punishment to the players.
Yeah.
And if they abolished it tomorrow, I wouldn't be upset at all by it.
Well, they're thinking about it. You can now play multiple times on Thursdays throughout the course of a season. That's a new NFL rule. And there is a thought and consideration that in May or April, whenever these next meetings are coming up, that they are going to pass the idea to flex Thursday night games. But as of now, it did not pass. So we'll see where it goes in the future. We got Satter Story coming up at 8:15. Talk a little Major League Baseball opening day. I got that in the notes. A couple other NFL rule change things and a few random college football stories if we got time. It's a loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fam.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.